Good evening, everybody. It's good to be back again, and it's good to be with you. And it is really good that we can get back into the Word of God on air, wherever how it comes about, and to realize because I miss it when we are away or gone or whatever place where we can't do it. It seems like it kind of makes a hole in the months for that period of time. For me, at least, it does. And,
those two.
So we, excuse me, we're going to pick back up this week again with our study as looking for those that Paul met after his conversion on the Damascus Road. And we're going to do, going to pick up with Acts again. And it's been so long since we done the first three or four verses, I want to go back and start with Acts 15 again. And we'll go over the three or four verses that we done before, and before we had the down week or two or whatever it was. So we'll do it that way. And I got a note in my Bible. When I opened it up, and I had this wrote in here years ago, and I don't know how many years ago, but quite some time, and it says, at the start of chapter 15, it says, after 14 years in Galatians 2, and evidently it mentions that in Galatians 2, that one of the studies that we had in the Acts, the book of Acts. And so I kind of picked up on this with Peter. When the centurion come to see him, when he was staying with another guy at the seashore, he was up on the rooftop and praying for whatever reason. And so Peter got the sheet dropped down, if you remember. And Peter really didn't know how to take that, because it was dealing with those things that the nation of Israel usually didn't deal with in food, for one thing. And when the sheet was let down, the voice said, Peter, take it, eat. And he done it three times, I believe. And he said, no, Lord, none of this stuff has ever touched my lips. So Peter got the idea that some of the things that he considered to be unclean was now not unclean. And part of it was the people that he was dealing with, the Gentiles, because Peter had a little problem with that being brought in. And, of course, this was the beginning of the grafting in period. They were going to graft in people from other places to take part in Israel's hope and to make Israel realize that, yes, there was some work to be done that way that you guys are not doing, because you haven't heeded my word the way I said. So, and then Peter realized also that the word was going to the Gentiles, and so it became quite clear from all of this with the centurion, because the centurion was He was a Roman soldier, over 100 men. And the Holy Ghost fell on them too. So it's kind of bring us up to the period that we can understand with, because this 14 years that I mentioned here of Galatians 2 was the time that Paul had went into Arabia for 40 days, and he come back into Damascus, and nobody ever questioned him about that because he hadn't started preaching Christ yet. So when he went and met Satan or whatever took place in those 40 days there in Saudi Arabia, and when Paul came back, they let him right back into the city of Damascus. But he got to preaching and teaching Christ. This guy that was going around with these, what we call John Doe warrants, just fill it in. You can take people off to jail or have them executed or whatever, you know. And, yeah. And so it's, that was a kind of big thing. So this was in the city of Damascus, and there was only two ways in and two ways out. And that was the street that was called Straight. And, yeah. It didn't go north and south. It went east and west. And so after he was there a while and he started teaching the Jews that had took up residence in Damascus for what reason. And the word got around that, yeah, that's what's happening now. Well, some of the other guys took it up to do Paul in. Saul, it was still Saul at that time. And because Saul was the daddy's name, if you don't remember. And Paul was the Israelite name that his mother and his grandmother decided to give Saul. So he could be Saul or he could be Paul. And Paul, after he started being called Paul, then he was quizzed on that by the Romans. Said, how did you get your freedom? Did you buy it? Or was you given freedom? And he says, I was born free. But they didn't fully understand that either, I don't think, at the time, because I think them being over Israel at the time, they didn't know all the things the way Israel done their business. And I don't have no qualms with that, because things kept changing all the time. And those people in those days had Abraham's blood. And it said their blood would be, they would be as sands of the sea and stars of the sky. Well, that's a pretty good move from the few hundred years that they had made it up to that point. And there was a lot of other things going on too, which it wasn't hard for somebody to take more than one wife. Now, Esau and Jacob, Esau, they told them, guys, you know, you go to your you go to the Israelite people and take women from the Israelite group. I don't know where they had tribes at that point or not that had children big enough to marry, but they didn't want them to go outside the bloodline to marry. And they had already set up this thing of circumcision, too. And with circumcision, you know, if you had a boy child, you went on the eighth day and took him to the high priest, and they done their little service, and he held him up before God and dedicated him to the Lord. And when I read that, well, my grandmother had read it to me. Well, I asked her about it. She didn't have the answer to the questions that I wanted to hear. Because I said, how's these people going to show anybody else without creating a lewd act some way or another to show them that they was a child of God? Grandma said, well, I don't really understand it either. But we still read our scripture, and a lot of things that we read, I didn't know because I wasn't a Christian at the time. But a lot of these things, other denominations that call themselves Christians, they didn't have all the answers either. And I realized that, being a kid. Well, if Grandma and Grandpa don't know, I don't know where I'll ever learn anything from that or not.
Kids typically have a lot of
kids. But anyway, here we are. And so, after a total of 14 years and then maybe a few months, they let him down out of a basket over the wall of Damascus. And he went up to see Peter. And so Paul and Peter had their little deal going on there too, and between the two of them, Paul got right in Peter's face with some of this stuff and said, okay, we're going to straighten this out. And they did to a point. But it went to Peter first, and then they said, well, Paul, you do this with the Gentiles, and I'll do this with the tribes of Israel. Peter did. And so they decided that they would do that. Well, a little while later, Barnabas was involved in that too. And so the Holy Spirit led them to go offshore to one of the British Isles and preach to the Gentiles. And they did. And they went to Antioch. And they went to Sidon, and they went to Derbe. And that's where the people from Antioch followed them down the road and told them. And Derbe said, you guys need to get rid of these guys. Well, they took Paul because of the deal there, and these people, I don't know what they believed, but they had built them a temple. And evidently somebody had come by that they thought had miraculous powers. And they were named the old names of the Greek gods. And when Paul healed this guy, oh, they said the gods are here again. And so they wanted to do service to Paul and Barnabas like they were gods. And they said, no, we're just men too. We're not going to do that. Well, they listened to these people from Antioch. And people from Antioch were saying, well, you need to kill them. So they took Paul out of Derbe and took him down outside the city. And they stoned him. And I tell you, a Jewish or an Israelite stoning was to the death. There was no doubt about it, because they would start with smaller stones that would knock you down or get you down to a point where they could crush your head with a rock. And they did that to Paul, and the other believers stood around. And whenever they got done with their business, they went back into town, and they left the disciples outside, and they ringed around Paul and prayed. And guess what? He got up. Now, I don't know. I don't have any indication at all as to what this done to his face. If he got all his faculties back, or if he was still banged up so bad he might have looked like the living dead or something. I don't know. But the next morning, they went back into town. And then the decision was made that they would go back where they come from, because these other people had done went home saying they had killed him. And so they went back the same way to show that Paul was still living. And the rest of them was still okay. Now, I'm going to read you a little of my notes, and then we'll start in the study. We're talking about these 14 years plus a little bit. The timeline picks up at AD 51. Now, you could figure this out, I believe, from appendage 181 in the back of a companion Bible if you have one. Some 14 years after Paul's conversion. The next events that are written, I think, and I kind of agree with Ronnie. Ronnie and I have talked about it a little bit. The next events that are written are 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, given about AD 52 and AD 53. And I think one of them was written shortly after the other one was written. And Ronnie's still doing a study on that right now. But I have been with him in these studies, and I don't see a lot of people mentioned there in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians other than groups of people or something. And we're going to talk about that a minute, too. And is recorded in the TFT website by Ronnie McCreary. Again, allow me to remind you of my accounting that up to this time we have recorded 19 names so far, and this does not include work like multitudes, gatherings, companies, and I'll add some of the more modern days to it. We're talking about crowds or host or myriads or unnumbered, because as numbers of the sea of the sands, we can't number that. I don't believe man has the ability to number that. Maybe God can, but people can't. Okay, so here we are. Talking about multitudes of gatherings. I want to ask you a question. This multitude, has anybody ever thought they could put a number on that? Yeah. Because multitude in the Strong's is this. It is a large number of people or persons, or a large number of things. Or a large number of situations of things that were left here or given to us as a gift of God in the gen of His words. And I'm talking about Genesis. And that's the one part of it. And the second part is if you look at all these, or not all these, but a great number and the number here of the word multitude in scriptures in the Old Testament, it's 148 times. In the New Testament, it's 106 times, which make a grand total of 254 times total. Okay. And a lot of them in the New Testament, especially, talks about common people. And it has a "the" in front of it. The common people. Or the certain people. Or the church people. Starts with, a lot of them starts with "the". Okay. No point in looking for a crowd name or a crowd number in most of these things. But now, every once in a while, they will be one picked out of one of these multitudes or one picked out of one of these crowds or one picked out of the nation of Israel, like Moses was picked out of the nation of Israel. And to be someone that God called for a purpose. Okay? Now, we have multitudes. In the Old Testament, multitudes, plural, is two times. And in the New Testament, the number of multitudes is 21 times. So, together, those 23 times that the word multitudes plural was used. So, you're getting up toward 300 times when it's used in Scripture. And there's not really a number associated with all these other than these words, adjectives that tells you who the people were basically as a group rather than
what they were all had in common, I guess.
Well, yeah, it was a kind of a common name. So I wanted to give you that little, you don't have to believe it, but that's what I came up with. Now, if you come up with something different, I'm not going to argue with you because I'm looking at all these things too. Groups, associates, and brethren. Now, here in Thessalonians, we leave off the name John Mark. Barnabas' relative. I think he's a nephew or cousin or something. And you can replace him with young Timothy, a convert on Paul's first trip also. The medical words or terms in Acts 13 and 14 gives us the understanding that Luke must have been there, but is not mentioned by his name. And the new name added here in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians is Silvanus or Silas. And the number also, the notes also, adds Titus, as he is evidently being, has brought Luke along in his gospel and also to the Acts gospel in 16, where he, Luke, says the word "we". So he includes himself in the next chapter, from where we are now. Okay? By the way, John Mark. I'm going to go back to John Mark again. Because I didn't take 3 years and something going over the last seven epistles of Paul to leave something out that Paul mentioned there. And he mentioned John Mark. Okay. John Mark, who left the group on the first trip, Paul asked Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 to bring with him to Paul in 2 Timothy 4:11 as one who is still profitable for the ministry. Well, God didn't give up on John Mark. But you see, John Mark didn't have the marching orders to go. It was to Paul and Barnabas. Barnabas said to his nephew, okay, you can go with us. But boy, he didn't like what he saw, I don't think. Because when all these people starts dogging you, you're going to go, you're going to do something.
Yeah, I think traveling with Paul and Barnabas was not for the faint of heart.
No.
Yeah. It was hard, it was long, it was intense, and it was dangerous.
And it was never given up on. Yeah. Doesn't seem like. Okay. Okay. So the need is ongoing, evidently. That's what I put in my notes. He said, now let's go to Acts 15:1. So, I said all this to get ready again. So, verse 1 of Acts 15:1. Now, this is a little better than 14 years after Paul was struck down on the Damascus Road. And guess what? A good bit happened during this time that we ain't really talked about. We might have mentioned it, but we haven't really talked about it yet. Okay. 15:1 says this. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. And so, when we look at this verse, we start off with the word and. Well, and means a continuation. It's unfinished business. So, evidently what was said between Peter and Paul and what was said with Barnabas and Paul and all this, there was at least one thing that was left undone. And this was circumcision. Okay? Certain men, the Greek word tis, T-I-S, in the English, which came down, and they were disavowed by the apostles, the ones that came down. Let me turn my page. From Judea. And from there in the Greek is the word apo, meaning they moved or they came. As though it was from headquarters. Well, was Judea headquarters of the area there that God had given to Abraham and to his seed? Well, it might have been. Okay. As though they came from headquarters taught. And the taught there is the idea of mentoring. To be a mentor. Or were teaching the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised. And there is another word that goes with that word except, and it says, and said, if not ye be circumcised. After or in the manner or the custom Okay, you see there's differing words here because, you know, we've gone from the Greek to the English. After the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved, or literally are not saved. Oh, well, now we've opened a new keg of nails here. Okay. Verse 2. He says, when therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. So you see, when there's a real hard something that needs to be answered, you don't do it in Judea. You go up to Jerusalem to do it. This is the main church. This is where that should come from, according to all those. They were from differing places. Now, remember, in this time, in Israel's history, there is a lot of people that have come back because of the 3 years that Christ taught and preached in Israel, and these people were coming back to get involved in that some way or the other. And so these multitudes that we have, and God had already told them they're going to be like the sands of the sea, so a lot of them have been carried away. Maybe some in servitude, whatever. And so there were a lot of people back in town, let's just say that, say it that way, that had not normally had made that their home. Okay? And it says, when therefore, so we now know what therefore is therefore. There has been an influx of people that have come home or come back to Israel. They had roots, or they had been taught that this is God's country and that they're God's people, and especially those that had been circumcised. Yeah, you know, that it would seem like, they would have something to say about that too. And so maybe that's the reason all this uproar gets started about certain things that might not be such a big deal after all. So maybe that's what therefore is there for. Because some feel like this is something that really needs to be taken care of. And Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension or disputation with them. Well, that word dissension in the Greek means a standing up. So they didn't sit there and take it. They stood up and stated their position on this thing. And see, Paul had just healed this man that was could never walk. He never walked a step in his life. And he was at the gate there, and they seen this man get healed, and his name is not in Scripture that I can find. But when he got healed, Paul told him to rise up and walk. He didn't have to learn how to walk. He rose up and walked under the auspices and the power of the Holy Spirit that gave that back to him, or gave that to him that he never had before.
Gave him the ability and the power.
Yeah, all at the same time. Gotcha. And he says, they determine or rule, and the they there, it said others, the unnamed other of them, should go up to Jerusalem unto the word there in the Greek is pros, the apostles and elders, about this question. So, they brought up the question and said, well, they need to go, and we're not just going to send them, we're going to go with them, because others were going to go too, to Jerusalem, and they were going to hash this thing out. So this is a big deal. Okay, verse 3, 15:3. And he said, and being brought on their way by the church or the assembly, they passed through Phoenix and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. Well, some liked it and some didn't. Where have you ever heard that before? It's kind of like the Jews, whenever they were given truth, some believed it and some didn't. So, things here hadn't changed any. Let's just look at it that way. And being they therefore indeed brought on their way, and that word in the Greek is propimpo, to be brought on their way. Propimpo. And that means to send with an escort. That's what propimpo means in the Greek. To send with an escort. Not just let them casually drift on off to go do what they want to do. We're going to send you there for a purpose. We're going to go with you. We're going to hear the end of this thing ourselves, too. That's like saying, well, we're going to go before the Supreme Court and plead our case. And we're not going to let you plead your case without us pleading our part of it. Okay? That should make a little bit of sense in this day and age anyway. To send with an escort by the church or the assembly. They passed or were passing through Phoenix and Tanaka, showing they went by the coast road as far as Caesarea and Samaria, declaring the conversation, not the conversation or the conversion of the Gentiles. And there's a full stop here. This is the first time in a little while that we've had a full stop in Scripture. But this is a needed thing for two different groups. And he said, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And I made a note here. It says, see Matthew 14:25 on page 13, 41, and 42. Matthew 14:25. Turn with me back there for a minute to Matthew 14. Let's see if I've got it marked. Some of them I did, some of them I didn't. 14:24 and 25. Okay. this was after they had fed the 5,000. Okay? And Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitude away. So, you know, they picked up the scraps, and it was really more than they had to begin with after the 5,000 had eaten. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, because he had went up on a mountainside over there after he had been with those 5,000 for the day. And Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." They cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, okay, here's his great glory, because Peter couldn't let something go by without being involved. "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water." And Christ, Jesus said, "Come." He walked on the water. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind blusterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?"
That was Peter then.
Yeah, and when all this was done, then the wind ceased. Because guess what? The creator of all these things were there to tell these things to cease, to do this. Because we see that this beautiful jewel that we live on was built for the angelic order. And when it was lit up, they shouted for joy. Because it was built for them. We see God can do with whatever he desires at any time for anything. But Peter realized all of a sudden that, well, maybe this wasn't for him to do. Be okay for Jesus, but it wasn't too good for Paul. I mean, for Peter. Okay. So that's the reason we went there, to show that, well, Peter was a little impetuous, that he could get involved in things that maybe he shouldn't get involved in, but he wanted to try them anyway. And Peter had a lot of faith, but sometimes that faith would get a little worn when he took it out of his pocket to use it. It had some lint on it. Verse 4. Let's look at verse 4 of Acts 15. When they had come to Jerusalem, they were received of the assembly or church, and of the apostles, and of the elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them, with Paul and Barnabas, and those that had went with Paul. Now Timothy and evidently Luke and some of the others were there. That thing too. So they said, when they had come, this was not by revelation or divine action. It was just what the other folks wanted to, other people to know what Paul and Barnabas had done. And it was done by God directing them to where they went and what had happened to them. And they had come back. And this was Paul's third visit now to Jerusalem. In this period of time, this was his third visit there. And they were received. And that word received, apodisomai, of or by the Greek. This starts with hippo. The assembly or the church and of the apostles, elders, and they declared or related the all things. And I put the in front of all things there because they were really going to look at probably everything that Paul and Barnabas had been involved in going and coming that God had done with them. And the things that God had done is the word meta, M-E-T-A, meta. Let's look at verse 5, and it says, but there arose certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was useful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Okay, the Pharisees. It wasn't the Sadducees this time that created the situation. It was the believing ones because they had been circumcised. So this was a deal of circumcision. Is it where you circumcise or don't circumcise? And so they might have felt like, well, we did this for nothing if it's not counting for anything.
It's interesting to me that there are Pharisees there that believe the Christ, but yet they want to hold on to circumcision, hold on to the law.
Well, this is what this chapter of this book deals with. Okay, we'll read you my part of it. It said, but there rose up, and that word in the Greek, rose up, is ek anastema, certain ones of the sect of the Pharisees. And that Greek word there is the word haresis, which believes, saying that it was or is needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep or observe, and the word observe there is the word terio, the law of Moses. Well, a lot of times they like to look at it as the law of God, but sometimes if there's some kind of complaint one way or the other, they look at it as it is the law of God. But here, they say this is the law of Moses because it was given to Moses to give to the people. And we haven't been there yet.
Honey, I don't remember seeing anywhere where any of the Sadducees believed.
No. Yeah. No, but the ones that had went through this, they felt a certain, in my opinion, they felt a kind of a certain situations that they had done that, well, if somebody else don't have to do it, then why did I have to go through this thing? So it's a kind of a give and take situation, and here we are. Well, I got another minute or two, so we're going to go through verse 6 anyway. And it said, and the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter. Well, there's not a lot there that we can glean from this other than the fact that they had the ability to sit down to kind of iron it out, so to speak. And the apostles came together, or were gathered together for, and for should be omitted there, to consider, to see to eidon. The Greek word there is eidon, of, or concerning this matter of logos is the word. Okay? Verse 7. And it said, and when they had been much disputing, Peter rose up. He stood up, like Paul and Barnabas stood up, and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made a choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. That was when God had sent the centurion to Peter when he was staying with another person in another place. And the centurion sent people over there and said, come to see me. Come to where I am. And they went. And while they were there, they were told about the gospel of God, and they understood what was needed, and they prayed. And while they prayed, the Holy Ghost fell upon the Gentiles. Well, listen, Israel was born looking for a sign. It was in their DNA. It was in their genes. As they come out of their mother's womb, they were, when they got able to do anything, they was looking for, they was looking some way for direction. And father and mother was supposed to do that. Where they could or did or not, we don't know how well that went. But that was the way things were supposed to be. It was the mother and father's concern for them to know this stuff. So, and when there had been much disputing, much feelings there would be exhibited, then Peter, and Estimai again, rose up, stood up, said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago, speaking of earlier days, about 13 years before this, God made a choice, or chose out among us, that the Gentiles, by my mouth, should hear the word of the gospel and believe it. I'm going to do one more. I'm going to do verse 8, and we'll stop at verse 8. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. So here we are. Now, Lord told them, you know, I'm going to go back, but you guys stay here and tarry here until the Comforter comes. And that's the, he called the Holy Ghost the Comforter, because that is, you don't have to go somewhere to get involved with God. The Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit is within you, then you have a direct line to God, whether you know it or not, or whether you use it or not. If you've made a vow that, yes, God, I believe you. Because this is what God is looking for. He is looking for people who will believe and understand what he has said and what he's about to say to them. He says, and God which knoweth, he is the heart searcher. Don't ever forget that. God, the Father, is the heart searcher. He knows our hearts. Now, we might change our mind, but can we change our heart? Can we change that feeling that gives us direction? Okay? The hearts bear them witness, which is the Holy Spirit. This is why Christ gave his life on the cross for us, to take care of our sins and to take the sin debt away from us. And he gave the Son the Spirit to replace the circumcision. Whether you believe it or whether you don't, it took the place with the Gentiles of circumcision. Because it was given to Israel. It wasn't given to the Jews. It was like the Ten Commandments. It was like the law. It was to point you to Christ. But if you have the Holy Spirit within you, you have already got a connection with Christ. Okay, let's finish it up. And give them the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, even as the same gift spoken chapters 1 and 2 of the book of Acts, he did unto us. It was known then as the Comforter, but now we see, now we know. The Adon has come into our life and came into our being, our mind, through our heart. Now, we can have the same gift of God that he gave to Israel through the blood of Abraham. But now it's through, for us, now it is through the blood of Christ. This is a great change, folks. This is moving things around. This is changing everything here for these people. Some will believe it, and some will not believe it, and that's the way Israel has been from day one. Some believe, and some believe not. Well, God bless those who believe. And we pray for those who believe not. Thank you for being with me tonight. We'll continue, God willing.